Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Old Man Winter is on his way. Let's get ready for the old boy. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice. From our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we are getting ready for Old Man Winter. And by that, I mean not just putting on your parka and your gloves. We got to get like our tools ready and our gardens ready. What are some things we need to be doing, Murph?
Yeah, there are some things we can do. So we can sit on our keisters and look out the window with our feet up in front of the fire and not have to do anything.
Sounds good.
That's kind of my idea of successful winter gardening, is to gaze upon my hard work for a couple months.
Well, put the work in now and enjoy the benefits later.
At Grow Corporate, we always like to work from the top down to make it easier to project manage and plan for your activities. So let's start with the roof and the gutters, because they're related to the drainage issues that you could face during these winter months with rain and the snow and melting snow. It's important that your gutters and your downspouts are clear so that when a deluge does come, it doesn't just roll right over the edge of your gutters and then pound this line into your planting areas right up next to the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad for your landscaping, but it's equally bad for your home and the foundation of your home. And in addition to those gutters and those downspouts, if you have rain barrels that you're using that are fed by your downspouts, now is the time to set those up so that they drain and they're a catch, because you're probably not going to be dumping water out of those rain barrels onto your garden or landscape this winter. So you can either let the overflow work, which I think is a little dangerous, because then you could have a 50-gallon ice cube right there, right?
Mm.
So the best thing to do is leave the little seal cock at the bottom open, put a little length of hose on there, and let that water collect in the rain barrel and then redistribute into the proper drainage profile at your property. Not pointing at a sub-level basement window, right? So you want to make sure we don't get in trouble with poorly draining landscape and gutters and stuff.
Good point.
So you can jump from the roof to the tree and pretend you're
not
a squirrel.
Not literally.
Yeah, and pretend you're a squirrel. But for our trees, we want to remove all of our old stakes and irrigation bags. So if your tree was planted this spring and it's still got stakes on it, might be too early to take it off. Maybe you want to wait until after the spring, but if it's been there for a year or more, take them off.
Okay.
If you've had the irrigation bag there to help you through this dry summer and fall we've had in the Midwest or elsewhere, time to put those things away. Make sure there's no little mices or anything inside of them, because they do end up in there.
Yeah, if you leave that on there, the water can freeze around your tree trunk.
It can, and it can also give your tree trunk some unneeded protection, so that when it does come off, you could have sun scald. So it's better to do that now and let that lower trunk kind of get acclimated and used to being unprotected and exposed. So for your trees, too, you should also be in the beginning of your dormant pruning plan of action.
Mm.
So some people are very avid gardeners and have a kind of a map to their landscape in their mind at all times. And interesting to me, in all the years in this field, discussing this with gardeners that are intimately aware of their landscape, and they could probably tell you exactly where am I going to prune, what needs to be pruned. Dormant pruning is a great time to remove the sucker growth and water sprouts. Those are the tall, upright branches that grow off of the base of the trunk or the top of limbs and branches. It's easy to see them now because the leaves are just about gone.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty this week, getting ready for Old Man Winter.
So Old Man Winter's preparations still have us wrapping up the trees. So when you've done all your stake removal and your dormant pruning, you have to ask yourself, should I water?
Mm-hmm.
Should I water? Because right now here in the Midwest, it's in the 50s and 60s. Actually, the grass is actually growing in some locations still.
Yes.
Mowing is not the best idea at this time, but it's just evidence to show that the soil temperatures are allowing for root growth. So when the grass is growing, your roots for your woody plants and trees can still be active. So if you encounter this kind of warm weather, and this is the official Indian summer here in the Midwest and here at ISU, because we've had some freezing nights already, and now here it is warm again. Indian summer is a good time to do the extra watering on your trees, particularly your conifers, your cone-bearing needled plants. So we can also add mulch to the basal flares, especially if it's a new tree. We want to keep that root ball in the ground right next to it nice and insulated. And then we can get started on the shrubs. We're going to do that same assessment for our dormant pruning there. Not all shrubs are dormant prune friendly. There's just certain ones, so make sure you get your plan together. We always have to mention seed collection, because a lot of people are out there are growing edible landscapes, have native plants, and it's a good time to collect those seeds for your own production or for sharing. And the same assessment for your trees you're going to make on your shrubs about watering and mulch. But there's one thing that I always like to do for my shrubs, particularly my broadleaf evergreens, so that's my boxwoods, rhododendrons, azalea, and anything else that is just an opportunity to give it some protection with the use of anti-desiccants.
Okay.
So we've talked about those before. They prevent
sprays.
Cold water. It's a spray. You can spray it on deciduous plants and protect their little skeleton so it doesn't burn during really extreme changes in temperature.
Okay.
Because that's when we get in a little trouble there. Bedding, we're going to approach it the same way as our shrubs, except the difference with the bedding is we want to keep it clear of leaf debris. Oftentimes bedding is up near the house, near doors, near entryway. And if they fill up full of leaf litter and stuff, Laura, that gives the ground squirrels and the mice a place to hide right by the house.
Well, we don't want that. But what about our tools, Murph? Anything we should be doing?
We should actually, when we finish doing all of our work, our hand tools and things like that, we want to put them in the shed or put them in storage clean. So put the handles away clean. So if they've got, you know, your toil marks on there from your gloves and your dirty hands, that can come off with a little bit of water and sandpaper just real quick. And grow, we've oftentimes recommended having a bucket of sand in your shed or wherever you store your tools, because it's a great way to cleanse the blade.
It exfoliates.
The plants, it does. And then if you really, really have some heirloom tools, I have a few heirloom tools that I love. You want to give them a little light coat of oil for storage. And you want to also get your pruners, your saws, your tree tools, you want to get them ready for an unexpected use.
Oh, you mean like if you lose a branch during a winter storm or something?
Yeah, that's right. So your loppers, your chainsaw.
There's something called a lopper?
Loppers are like a pruner with long handles.
Cool.
And they're for cutting branches that are bigger around than your finger, you
mm-hmm.
know, because a handheld pruner, those are for finger size or smaller. These tools all need to be sharp and clean when you put them away all the time. But for this winter, you want to get them prepared in a manner so that they are ready to go. And for chainsaws, that may mean keeping it in the garage with no fuel in it, because, you know, we don't want a fuel hazard in the house or
right.
next to the house. But if the saw is nice and warm instead of ice cold when you pour that fuel into it to go and clean that limb that fell across the driveway, it's going to start right up and you'll be back in the front of the fireplace before you know it.
Okay, great advice, Murph. Let's get that taken care of before Old Man Winter gets his grips on us. Now, next week, you had actually mentioned mites during the show. Next week on GLT's Grow, we're going to be dealing with those nibbling rodents. And if you've got a garden question or problem that you would like Murph to take on, you know what? We want to hear from you. Go to our website, submit your question. There's a form to fill out there. And if you have a photo that goes along with your question, we would love to have that from you as well. Just send that question along to us here. You can submit it online at wglt.org/grow.